Thursday, the second day of August, 2 days mercifully out of the most miserable July I've ever known. I haven't known that many miserable Julys, but man, that one was. Still getting over it. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Available to anyone who wishes to listen, who wants to participate in conversation radio. Well, anyone except, you know, right-wingers. Anyone of goodwill, let's put it that way. Available to anyone who wishes to listen, either live or on the rerun stream or on the podcast. It's all ever so easy to get. We're always thrilled to hear from new callers, always thrilled to get new listeners. And welcome everyone to this process. The Horn, of course, is available to you in a wide variety of streaming platforms on the interweb tubes. You can get us live easiest at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com with the Listen Live button. But you can also get us at WhiteRoseSociety.org. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the rerun of each evening's show follows Mike Malloy's live program on his stream. We have our own 24/7 replay stream that goes most of the time, and that's just at the regular Horn stream. You can listen to the podcasts via the RSS feed at WhiteRoseSociety.org, and you can also listen to the podcast at iTunes. iTunes Radio also carries the live stream, as does Stitcher Internet Radio, as does Tuner Internet Radio and TuneIn Radio. Not to mention a whole bunch of other places, more than likely. This is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I want to point out, wow, what's happening to this computer. I want to start the program. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff to go through. But I want to begin the program with some audio. It's audio of a video. And what I think you'll find, what you're going to hear, there's some natural sound of conversation. You will also hear some descriptions of events. It is an account of what, as far as I can tell, is police collusion with strip miner and coal company thugs in an attempt to harass, oppress, and frankly, to put peaceful demonstrators in positions where they could receive severe bodily injury or even death. What I'm talking about is the follow-up to, well, I've told you a little bit about the protest action this past Saturday on the largest strip mountaintop removal site in West Virginia, the Hobet operation. We will probably talk about this at some length. I had a note from a contributor earlier. Ed wrote in. He said, "Bob, thank you for your work in stopping mountaintop removal. I listen to The Horn every night. and get so much from the conversations between you and your listeners. Live well, Ed. Thank you, Edward. Thank you very, very much. But the fact of the matter is, this is work that is being done by a lot of people. And these young people and the folks who supported them, see, a number of people, 20 people were arrested, about 30 people had walked away. It was the 30 who walked peaceably away who were put in jeopardy. I'm going to roll the audio now, because I can hardly stand not to do it. I will probably stop the recording periodically just to offer up a little bit of commentary along the way. I'm rolling this audio in its entirety because there are a couple of bad words that couldn't be broadcast on the for-profit censored American media. The whole thing takes about 9 minutes and 21 seconds. I hope you'll bear with me because this is important. It is important not just as a manifestation of the ongoing struggle, and it is a struggle, I don't use that word lightly, against mountaintop removal in Appalachia, but it is also emblematic of things that are going on around the country. Last night I heard from Jeremy in Vermont. He also wrote into Malloy. About a story that's getting some press. Peaceful protesters in Burlington, Vermont. Burlington, Vermont! Who were pepper sprayed and arrested for obstruction of an officer, of police obstruction, whatever you want to call it. Because they were demonstrating against a tar sands pipeline company. The people who were arrested for obstructing were, if I understand correctly, charged with obstructing because they were carrying, wait for it, milk. Milk. Because milk is an antidote to pepper spray. When we get to a place like this, we have to start using the word fascism. It gives me no joy, but it is a fact. Just because they don't have the snappy uniforms, just because they may, for all intents and purposes, be wrapped in the American flag and carrying a Bible or something, it does not make it any less fascism. This past Saturday, the people walking away from the protest demonstration at the Hobet site, at least one person was hosed down with pepper spray, not by police, but by a strip miner, or a strip miner's wife, or some other employee in the direction and control of a coal company. By the way, I should mention, for anyone who still maintains any romantic notions about the United Mine Workers of America, the Hobet site is a union mine. For all I know, the screaming you're hearing, the shouting, the catcalls, the vulgarities that you will hear are coming out of the mine, out of the mouths of United Mine Workers members. It's just a fact. But listen, please. At Hobet, the largest MTR mine, there was a nonviolent walk-on. The event was not permitted. We have footage of a legion of state police cruisers coming up to where the protest was taking place. Now, I need to tell you something about the West Virginia State Police. See, I told you I'd be breaking in. The West Virginia State Police was formed in the early days of the 20th century after the excesses of what were called the Gun Thugs or the Baldwin Thugs, so named after the Baldwin-Felts Detective Agency. These were the Gun Thugs who were used to put down the human rights struggle by mine workers at that time. They did things like bringing railroad trains through coal camps and shooting up houses from armored train cars. They did that. They turned mothers and their children out into the streets out of company housing. They were private thugs hired by the coal companies. They were eventually criminalized or made at least illegal. And when they were, the response by the state of West Virginia was to form the West Virginia State Police, whose earliest members had been Baldwin Felts and other detective agency hired guns for the coal company. It's 100 years now. Nothing's changed. The West Virginia State Police still operates at the beck and call of the coal industry. The first thing they did was arrest the photographers on the site. Then they went after the protesters. The peaceful, civilly disobedient, nonviolent protesters. The ones who walked away, about 30 people, ordered to leave, left and began walking toward the public road. That's where their support team were going to pick them up.
You know, we left, went stage, waited for everyone to come, then we walked. So there was a number of interactions between sheriffs, deputies, mainly West Virginia State Patrol, who indicated we should just keep on going.
As I told the officer several times, if we can get out of here sooner, everyone will be happier and healthier and safer in this whole situation.
The police had ordered, the state police had ordered the pickup vehicles there, the support vehicles for the protesters, the demonstrators. The police had ordered them to leave the area under fear of arrest and God knows what. I should mention, by the way, that if you want to see this, you can go to headonradionetwork.com. The video has been posted there under today's show post. Just go to the Thorn in the Side Thursday post for today, the second day of August, and you can watch this. But they were ordered, the pickup vehicles were ordered to leave, which means that the 30 people were left without a ride. And the police then directed the 30 people in another direction, sent them in another direction, sent them away from their nearest means of exiting the site.
When I asked why that van couldn't just come through and pick us up, and he said the street was closed to residents only.
We've had to shut down the road to residents only. I'm just following.
Now, what you just heard there was a great big lard-ass state policeman with a skinhead, shaved, and most of them are. They're skinheads. They shave their heads for some reason or another. I don't know if it's macho or butch or what the right word is. This is a great big old tub of guts, fella. And you heard the words, didn't you? Let me see if I can give this a little more oomph.
Watch it.
I'm just following orders. All right, trooper. Whose orders? Whose orders? Who ordered you to make sure that these 30 American citizens, these 30 people who violated no law, that's why they're not under arrest. They obeyed a lawful order to vacate, they vacated, and then were told they could not vacate in the rational direction from which they had come. I'm just following orders. The question is whose? Is it on order from Patriot Coal? Is it on order from the West Virginia Coal Association? Who at the state police received those orders and passed those orders down to this officer who's giving the tensile strength of his uniform blouse the trial of its life? What orders? Whose orders?
Also, I was told by one person that lived in that area that was friendly that a lot of folks that were coming up and down and harassing us did not live in that area.
Why were they there? Who coordinated and ordered them to be there? You see, these peaceful demonstrators, these American citizens, obeyed a lawful order and began walking away, and they were followed. Not by the police. The West Virginia State Police would not protect them. The West Virginia State Police permitted these strip miners to follow them and harass them, verbally abuse them, spray them with pepper spray, threaten them. This is West Virginia. Listen. I'd like to do a Willard Romney story right now, a funny Willard Romney story. Like maybe about how Ann Romney said she was just tickled that her horse came in fourth at the Olympics. And as one tweeter said earlier today, then she'll be tickled and she'll absolutely love it when her husband comes in second in November. If only I could feel so confident. I'd love to be doing a story like that. I got a dinner story for Scott and Linda over here. But we have to talk about this. If for no other reason than the fact that the for-profit media are studiously avoiding this story. I would hazard a guess that you could tune in any of your favorite, even progressive, television shows tonight and not see a word about this. I imagine, I hope you will hear something about this on other progressive radio shows than this one. But word has to go out. And I'm sending this along so that you can send it along as well. This is one of those little defining moments when we become the media. Because the for-profit media are effectively co-opted and more or less useless. The only way the for-profit media will ever cover this is if enough buzz is made about it, if enough outrage is expressed about this, that they can't help it. Even then, though, as I told our buddy Isaac in a tweet earlier today, even then I'm worried about what the messaging would be. The last time the for-profit media did a story about mountaintop removal, it wound up being Solenoid O'Brien from CNN doing a puff piece on the poor plight of the poor, pitiful, blighted strip miners. and damn near no word whatsoever about the impacts on human health that this Appalachian apocalypse poses for God knows how many innocent people. So anyway, to pick back up, the road out is closed to anyone but residents of the road. Yet for some odd reason, there were a whole bunch of non-resident strip miners and their wives and so forth who were allowed to follow and harass these 30 innocent people as they left.
It seemed that it was closed to anyone that wanted to be helpful in the situation of getting us off the side of the road and out of danger from people harassing us.
Beautiful shot of a strip miner holding up a crudely fashioned white poster board poster of Calvin, you know, from Calvin and Hobbes, peeing on a stump labeled tree hugger. It says, "Stop interfering." So they kept the relief caravan off the carpool. It was carpooled. They kept the relief carpool off of the public road. But oddly enough, well, strip miner cars were allowed onto it.
We got to the police blockade, and they let us through. They told us not to come back, and if we showed our faces or our cars there again, we would be arrested. But we observed... other cars that were not official cars in any capacity with Friends of Coal stickers being allowed to drive in and out of that blockade with the police knowing that they were antagonistic.
Looks like we are going to keep moving all the way through the highway until the police allow our caravan of vehicles to come pick us up. And these counter-protesters are going to be following us the whole way.
Black people, I'll pay for this property with that job!
Get down the road. Did you hear the screaming? Here's a hint. Those were not peaceful demonstrators. Those were coal thugs. Bathed in ignorance and awash in hatred and their minds turned to bloodthirsty goo by a constant stream of propaganda that flows just like the toxic waste does out of the coal industry. In a minute, in a second, you're going to hear one of those little canned compressed air horns go off. It was directed right beside the ear of a young, peaceful woman walking away as carloads of strip mine thugs drove past on a road that the state police said had been closed to all but residents of the area.
Brush your fucking teeth!
I wonder if that coal miner's wife or daughter or whatever, I wonder if she kisses her mama with that mouth. Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Brush your fucking teeth!
Brush your effing teeth? She's 10 feet away from the... How can she tell... What? Hear the helicopters? It took them 4 hours of walking in the other direction. 4 hours of walking in the other direction to get to somewhere that they could be picked up by their support carpool. They were harassed, threatened, and intimidated all along the way, with the complete knowledge and acquiescence of the West Virginia State Police.
Oh,
after they met their carpool, once again, the strip miners blockaded the road. What we have here, and I don't know if I'm even conveying it well enough, what we have here is a situation in which the West Virginia State Police deliberately corralled these peaceful, nonviolent American citizen protest demonstrators into a potential slaughter pen, into a place where they could have been killed to the last person by these enraged, infuriated, mindless strip miners and their families. I said the other night that I wasn't sure that demonstrations like this are a good idea in West Virginia. Let me reiterate that. This is dangerous. You know, it was, what, 1980 when Ronnie Reagan kicked off his presidential campaign at the Neshoba County Fairgrounds in Neshoba County, Mississippi, with a rallying cry of states' rights. Just here in the last day or so, you remember me mentioning to you night before last about Judge Reggie B. Walton striking down the EPA guidance? Well, in the last day or so, West Virginia elected officials, Democrats mostly, by the way, have hailed Judge Walton's decision as a victory for states' rights. Anybody with a skin tone even slightly darker than my own knows what kind of code states' rights is. It was, of course, in Neshoba County, Mississippi, not far from where Ronald Reagan uttered those filthy words, that three freedom riders were murdered on the bloody ground of Mississippi. What we're talking about here. This isn't a race issue, but it most assuredly is a civil rights issue. The civil rights of unborn children to breathe a single breath of air without having been poisoned in the womb by the mountaintop removal companies, corporations. This is a frightening place. If they don't think anybody's watching, these strip miners will do God only knows what to anyone that they perceive to be getting in their way of destroying mountains, forests, valleys, streams, and more importantly than any of that so-called environmental stuff, communities, families, mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, cousins, aunts, uncles, and as noted, babes in the womb. It is worth noting that after the carpool was blockaded on the road, law enforcement authorities took an hour and a half to show up. That was an hour and a half in which a single cross word could have ignited bloodshed. But because these young people are nonviolent, it didn't happen. The confrontation that these strip miners so desperately yearned for did not happen.
There were a couple of points where they intervened to call off the swarm of miners that were around us, which amounted to just telling them to back off, and then the police would leave, and then the miners would come back. So it wasn't any kind of lasting peace.
They eventually got out onto four-lane highway, the carpool with the protesters, 4 hours later. And even then, they were followed by a convoy of strip miners, people under the orders of the coal companies and the Friends of Coal, threatening and harassing them all the way back to Charleston, West Virginia. A good 20-30 minute drive. Strip miners and their children and their wives or whatever they are can be seen in this video leaning out their moving vehicles' windows and beating on their car doors. No police cruisers in sight. And then there's the story of what had happened earlier in the day at Kanawha State Forest. A young man by the name of Jonathan Sidney was accosted by the state police. They demanded ID of him. What kind of a country is it where a person who is in a permitted situation, who is doing absolutely nothing to violate the law, what kind of a country is it where that person can be demanded of his ID merely for being an American citizen, breathing air, existing? He was arrested. They asked him if he had ID. He said, "I don't have any ID." They seized his cell phone, seized his wallet, pulled out a debit card, and said, "This'll do for ID." A debit card is not ID, because among other things, you couldn't present a debit card at a polling place in, say, Pennsylvania or Florida or any of these other... You couldn't present a debit card as proof of ID so that you could go and vote. It's issued by a bank, not the government. Or is there now no difference?
I've been a jail supporter on actions. I've followed folks through the legal system, tracked them as they're taken away from mine sites to police stations, courts, gotten people out of jails and such, and interacted with a lot of police and law enforcement in that capacity.
And Jonathan stepped out of the car. He said, "I do not have identification with him." The officer searched him and took his wallet and pulled out his debit card and said, "This is identification. You lied to me. You're under arrest."
I was never read my Miranda rights, and this is an exact quote, but something to the extent of, "You're in the middle of the fucking mountains. I'd stop fucking around if I were you." Slams the door.
We spent an hour waiting in the police car.
They were, you know, saying things like, "You know, you're lucky you're in this police car right now. If we let you out, those miners would just beat your ass." Like, "Oh, these miners don't give a fuck. They'll kill you and throw you down into an abandoned mine. There's a lot of places where they won't even find the bodies." Stuff like that. When they asked any kind of question that got to the substance of as to why I was in that forest, I pretty much didn't say very much at all, and they were kind of harassing me, and not in a threatening way, but just saying, you know, "I don't get this whole remaining silent thing."
You follow that? Throw you down a mine shaft? Neshoba County, Mississippi? Anybody? Earthen dams? Earthen dams are a dime a dozen in southern West Virginia. They hold back billions of gallons of toxic waste. A body thrown into a sludge sea of that toxic waste here would never be recovered. You couldn't recover it. No human being can go in to that vile goo. No human being would. There have been instances, for instance, where a mama bear tracks and a baby bear's tracks have been seen walking into the sludge dam, but no tracks come back out. You heard that, right? You're lucky we got you. These coal miners should kill you. They knew! That is living proof that they knew. This is a dangerous place. This is no place anymore to be doing civil disobedience. Because I do not want to see anyone hurt. And these coal thugs, the more that they are radicalized, the more that they are infuriated, not by us, but by the coal industry itself, which knows what it is doing. It whips its people into a frenzy. They will hurt somebody if they get a half a chance. Another individual, you know, when you're going to do something like this, you want to make sure everything's in order. It turns out one individual's insurance certificate in his car was outdated by 8 days. His car was impounded by the police. Problem is, the police were completely within their rights to do that. It's the little things. The little things.
My vehicle was taken as about 120 miners who had a legitimate reason to be angry at anyone who they could identify as a tree hugger that day. I walked up the top of the mountain, and I was left without a vehicle. I said,
see, I disagree. Those miners did not have a legitimate reason to be angry at anyone. The mine site was shut down for 3 hours. The miners were still on the clock, the ones who were actually working. The ones who came there came looking for trouble. Actually, they didn't come looking for trouble because nobody was going to give them any. What they came to make trouble. They came to create chaos. They came to inspire havoc. They came to harass. They came to threaten. They came to intimidate.
The officer, I feel unsafe without a way to get down. So looks like you have good walking boots.
So I get let off basically on this little highway in the middle of nowhere with the direction that I can walk a quarter of a mile to the right to a gas station, which turns out there wasn't a payphone there. My cell phone was confiscated by Sergeant O'Brien when I was arrested. I was getting folks who were stopping and harassing me, people who were yelling outside, and this was, you know, this was avoidable.
Is that what we do? Forget about it? If we had a government that I felt like was interested, even remotely, in justice, I would say, well, you know what? That's ugly, but justice will be done. Because by God, the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice and the FBI will be on the case! I have utterly no faith whatsoever that it will be. Every one of those officers that did every one of those things, every officer that was called out that day should be subjected to intense scrutiny and criminal investigation for the situation that they, not the demonstrators, that they created. Meanwhile, the protesters themselves, as we have discussed, the ones who got arrested, were dragged off to the Lincoln County, West Virginia jail. Actually, Lincoln County doesn't have its own jail anymore. Lincoln County can't afford a jail. Lincoln County is a participant in the Western Regional Jail. I'm not even sure where the Western Regional Jail is. Putnam County, maybe? They were, however, arraigned by a magistrate who set each of their bonds at $25,000 cash or property. No bondsman. That was on July the 28th. Understand that they were charged with trespass and obstruction of an officer. Trespass doesn't even carry jail time. And there is a law in this state that says a charge that does not carry jail time can't have that kind of a bail attached to it. No disabled protesters in that bunch that I'm aware of, Texas Betsy. The fact of the matter is, it's not a place a disabled person could go. The other charge, obstructing an officer, carries up to a year in jail. Those bonds were arguably excessive and almost certainly illegal. And now that some noise has been made about it, those magistrates are beginning to have a little case of the turtle squirts. Shortly before showtime this evening, I received word that about half of the protesters had been released. Unfortunately, they were not released because bond had been reduced from its excessive level. They were released because they entered a plea bargain. They pled guilty, the report says, to trespass in return for fines of $500 each and 1 year probation. Shh. Don't tell anybody. The magistrate court won. Now, I could be entirely wrong, and I stand ready to be corrected. But you can't put somebody on probation who couldn't be punished with jail time in the first place. If the obstruction charge was dismissed, there was no jailable offense. So how can you put someone on probation who couldn't have gone to jail in the first place? These people have been in jail for 5 days. Why wasn't it trespass $500 fine and time served? Because you can't serve time on a trespass charge. What a trip down the rabbit hole. you begin to see the reality of what I try to tell you on so many occasions about life here in West Virginia? I'm not exaggerating. In fact, if anything, I'm underreporting. And yet this program, more than any other, has, in the time we've been on the air, the Head On Radio Network has spent more time talking about mountaintop removal than any other broadcast outlet on the entire planet. And I've tried to tell you fairly and honestly what it's all about. Do you understand now? And I'm not talking down. I'm really not. Do you understand now why I speak with so much urgency about the AIC Act? AIC Act.org. It is the only piece of legislation pending that would actually end mountaintop removal. The only one. H.R. 5959, heroically sponsored by Dennis Kucinich, Louise Slaughter, John Conyers, John Yarmuth, Jim Moran. And a host of others, Judy Chu. I'm sorry I don't have them committed to memory. Truly, I should. But this is reality. And the only thing that can ever bring peace to West Virginia, to Eastern Kentucky, to Southwest Virginia, to East Tennessee, the only thing that can ever bring peace to this tormented region is H.R. 5959. The Appalachian Communities Health Emergency I've remarked a lot lately that I'm not a fearful person. I don't walk around afraid of things. But when I say that, I'm not being entirely candid. Because I do. No, I'm not afraid of Al-Qaeda. No, I'm not afraid of George Soros. I'm not afraid of 99% of the bugaboos that the for-profit media and outlets like Radio Rwanda, Fox News put out there to try to terrify a rather sheepish population. But I'm afraid of coal thugs. I'm afraid of what coal thugs do. I'm afraid of trips to the doctors where they say things like, you know, your daughter's got to have an organ out. I'm afraid for pregnant mothers who give birth to babies and don't understand why their precious newborn isn't breathing right. I'm afraid of the coal industry that will pay millions of dollars and buy off governments, buy off law enforcement agencies that should be neutral in the first place, buy off court systems directly or indirectly, who will radicalize their own workforce, all so they can continue to plunder and pillage this already tormented region. No doubt, I do have my fears. I surely, surely do. So, we'll take a little break. Brad Friedman, Desi Doyen, and the Green News Report are coming up. That's because it's Thursday. We'll take a little break and hopefully come back to your calls. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you wish to save us the toll charges, you can direct dial 304-658-3333. Light them up. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about other things, too. But I want to know if you have any better ideas than I have for how we make America aware of the tense and terrifying situation that coal companies are deliberately creating in this region. If you have any better ideas of how to stop an industry that itself will stop at nothing to get its way, I want to know. Light up the lines. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Run through our veins, moving monuments to better days. That mountain stands over our darkened lungs. It's time to ponder what we've become. In his company town, it's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow, until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down, until the money's all drained from a company town. Yankee bosses worked us so hard for their well-dressed children and their well-kept yards, while coal camps echoed with the mournful sounds of impoverished voices from deep in the ground. Under this company town is what we know. Comes hard, change comes slow, until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down, until the money's all drained from a company town. Our parents' memories of World War II, round the clock was the American thing to do. Families gathered round their radios to hear FDR say we'd make it somehow in our town. Mm-hmm. jobless faces and their grim plight, while four men and a drag line blow the mountaintop off to take its heart out. Now it knows what we've lost in this company town. It's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Until the life's all drained out of a company town.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, August 2nd, 2012.
There are consequences of using the atmosphere as a dump for greenhouse gases.
Scientists warn Congress of climate change impacts.
Madam Chairman, I'm offended by that. I'm offended by that.
While Republicans still insist it ain't happening.
We will have to see that progress before considering support for any new heavy oil pipeline in B.C.
Conflict in Canada over another tar sands oil pipeline. Justice for survivors of Camp Lejeune's toxic water, plus...
Paul McCartney can go out and find twigs and berries for all I care.
The beef industry's beef with the USDA.
All of those twigs and berries and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
India is crippled by power failures. Have they tried unplugging the country and plugging it back in?
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, a few oil industry fun facts before we get started, courtesy of Think Progress. Every hour so far in 2012, the five largest oil corporations have recorded a $14,400,000 profit. That
wow.
is in every hour so far in 2012.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and our U.S. government continues to give them many, many more millions each and every hour.
Well, money is also the matter up in Canada, where there's a battle brewing over tar sands. It's not the proposed Keystone XL pipeline in the U.S., but another proposed tar sands pipeline that's dividing Canada. British Columbia's premier, Christy Clark, is withholding permission for the controversial Northern Gateway pipeline, which would carry heavy tar sands oil from neighboring Alberta across hundreds of miles of British Columbia wilderness to British Columbia ports for shipment to China. BC's Environment Minister, Terry Lake, though, says much more needs to be done to reduce the environmental impact of any pipeline and improve oil spill response capability, but more importantly, they want a cut of the revenue.
Given that BC would shoulder 100% of the marine risk and a significant portion of the land-based risk, we do not feel the current approach to sharing these benefits is appropriate. A fair share of benefits will be the focus of negotiations should there be any interest in pursuing a new heavy oil pipeline in British Columbia.
Right now, BC will get $0 from Alberta's oil revenue. Here in the U.S., the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has a real beef with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Last week, the USDA was forced to withdraw and apologize for an internal department newsletter that encouraged employees to try Meatless Mondays in the building's cafeteria. That's a program started by vegetarian Sir Paul McCartney of the Beatles as a simple and painless way to help individuals reduce their environmental impact by going meat-free on just one day of the week.
Now, does the USDA work with only beef producers, or does the A stand for agriculture, as in corn and other vegetables?
Oh, indeed, but the powerful meat industry lobbying group, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, was totally outraged. They said the very idea of Meatless Mondays, quote, should be condemned by anyone who believes agriculture is fundamental to sustaining life on this planet.
Oy.
Justice for the survivors of Camp Lejeune water contamination. The Republican-controlled U.S. House has finally passed some legislation that would cover the medical costs of hundreds of thousands of Marines and their family members who have suffered high cancer rates after decades of exposure to contaminated drinking water at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, the largest water contamination case in U.S. history.
Well, that's very thoughtful of the Republicans.
Unfortunately, the legislation comes too late for many. The contamination took place between 1950 and 1985, and thousands of victims have since died. More hyperbole on Capitol Hill.
You're asking us to have unprecedentedly high electricity prices in order to avoid a danger that is not as real as it appears.
Suddenly, it was climate week in the U.S. Senate. In the midst of a record national drought and on the heels of a bombshell new study this week from a prominent Koch-funded climate skeptic, finding that, quote, global warming is real and humans are almost entirely the cause, on Wednesday, in the first Senate hearing in years on the economic impacts of climate change and extreme weather, Republican anti-science deniers again insisted global warming is not happening at all.
In the last 10 years, we've seen virtually no change in the temperature.
However, the Democrats and actual climate scientists in the hearing disagreed.
We really reached the point where the question of whether the Earth is warming is really no longer in doubt. There are consequences of using the atmosphere as a dump for greenhouse gases.
I find it quite incredible that we're raising the question about whether global warming is a real problem.
Global warming is certainly not a hoax.
There's no hoax. There's no conspiracy.
It was a contentious hearing. Glad to hear that there actually was one in the Senate, which is controlled by Democrats. So where have they been all this time, Des?
Fighting with the Republicans, as usual.
I couldn't help but notice that Chairman Barbara Boxer's end to the meeting may have said it all.
Okay. Wow.
For more on that hearing, the other stories we covered today, and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help support the Green News Report. We rely on you, not the Koch brothers, to stay on the air and keep telling you the truth over your public airwaves. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Okay. Wow.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox.
And you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Oh, gee whiz. We're having a blast with the production computer here. My apologies to the chat room. I would love to be in there, but apparently either this machine or something about Java doesn't want me there. A couple of emails. Irish Dave reminding me of a line from the great movie Matewan. I know Mr. Phelps. I wouldn't pee on him if his heart was on fire. If you've never seen John Sayles' Matewan, you owe it to yourself to see it. What's really depressing, though, and Clayton wrote in a little bit ago and said, this doesn't sound any different than the Battle of Blair Mountain. Well, it is different. And what's depressingly different about it is that at Matewan and in the Battle of Blair Mountain, the coal miners were the good guys. They were the ones who were fighting for basic human rights. And they were fighting, and I know the difference. I try to use the word struggle and not eliminationist language on this program. They were fighting. There were guns involved. Now, almost 100 years later, the coal miners are behaving really no differently than the thugs who oppressed them. They have become a part of the problem and want nothing to do with the solution. As I noted, those may have been union miners you heard hooting, and it may have been a union miner's daughter screaming obscenities out the window. That may be it may have been a union miner or a union miner's son leaning all the way out of a speeding pickup truck to beat on the side of the truck like some sort of low-level primate. And understand something. I want to get this all the way down to the ground. All that heroic violence of the early part of the 20th century, the battle at Matewan, the assassination of Sheriff Sid Hatfield, the Battle of Blair Mountain, accomplished absolutely nothing in terms of establishing human rights or labor rights. Not a damned thing. Violence never does. The only thing that the Battle of Blair Mountain accomplished was to set back labor organizing in the state of West Virginia and in the coal fields of Appalachia by a generation. There would be no further labor organizing in southern West Virginia until the middle 1930s, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed into law the National Labor Relations Act. There's nothing heroic in the Battle of Blair Mountain. Not a damned thing. Nothing. It badly deserves to be remembered. It badly needs to be remembered as a moment of profound oppression by the government against some of its poorest citizens. But you remember it in that sense the same way you remember Bull Connor turning out the fire hoses and the dogs on peaceful civil rights marchers in Birmingham. The only difference at Blair Mountain was the fact that the miners were all armed to the teeth. And they went on, you know, a bunch of them were prosecuted for things like treason. First World War veterans. But most of them went on and went back to work and got paid in company scrip, died in the holes, died of black lung, watched their children starve, watched their wives become old women before their time. Nothing was accomplished at the heroic Battle of Blair Mountain. Nothing. And it is for that nothing that the battle deserves to be remembered. It should be remembered as a failure. And so it is that the grandsons, or perhaps even great-grandsons, great-granddaughters of the miners who marched at Blair Mountain now threaten, harass, intimidate, and terrorize their peaceful fellow citizens who want nothing more than to see mountaintop removal ended and be able to breathe a clean breath and have future generations that emerge from the womb breathing. Because there's been a lot of human evolution over the last couple or 3 million years. But gills haven't been one of them. and eyelid breathing like the lava lizards of the Galapagos Islands isn't another one. And that is just the pure and simple of it. West Virginia has not a single governmental entity, from the governor to the Supreme Court to the circuit courts to the magistrate courts to the county commissions to the dog catcher, that is not in some way beholden to an entirely corrupting coal industry. Churches are beholden to coal industries. I saw a member of the clergy chased out of the struggle against mountaintop removal because Massey Energy gave money to that church's food bank. I know it happened. I saw a member of the clergy compelled to put aside his moral and ethical certainties because he was leaned on by the upper echelons of his church. That is West Virginia. You cannot go for a hamburger in this state without seeing that godforsaken Friends of Coal sign in the window, and if you dare speak up against them, well, we can do without your business, but we can't do without coals. It has been said to my face. And all for no other reason than the fact that people simply want to be left alone to live in peace and not have their windows rattled by explosions, their foundations cracked, their wells destroyed and suffused and infused with every noxious, toxic chemical from the heavy metals end of the periodic table of the elements. For no other reason than wanting not to ever see their newborn granddaughter awaken from in her crib screaming because another bomb just went off. This is West Virginia. And this is the heart and soul of the struggle. And so it was that I got an email from Dr. John earlier today. And he said, I'm looking at these photo galleries of both patrons and protesters, you know, at Chick-fil-A, stupidly long lines at Chick-fil-A. I'm looking at these photo galleries of both patrons and protesters, like on the Washington Post site, and I really, really don't know what to think, says Dr. John. Part of me wants there to be some dirty secret lurking behind it all, like they were giving away food or something, or the Koch brothers mailed out vouchers to millions of people on the sly. But John says, that's probably not true. So I'm left with two related unpleasant thoughts. One, right-wingers and family values types really are convinced that eating fast food on one particular day makes Jesus smile. Or two, some people on our side think protesting fried chicken is an effective use of people's finite time and energy. You know, if every single human being who had gone out to protest the Chick-fil-A had put as much energy into stopping mountaintop removal, we'd damn near have it ended. Juanita writes in. She says, my heart aches and I am so frustrated about the protesters. She says, there's a big blob of sorrow in me and a larger one of frustration. I've often wondered if Soledad O'Brien could be shamed into reporting the truth about mountaintop removal. Do you think it would help to get a petition going directed to her? She has small children. This will affect her also. I've noticed a number of ads about how the coal industry has been vilified unjustly in their lying ads. Well, I'd like to give you a happy answer, Juanita, but I'm afraid I can't because I try not to do any lying on this program. No, a petition would not do any good with Soledad O'Brien. Because whatever is being done to anyone in Appalachia is not nearly as important as what happens to her every 2 weeks when AOL Time Warner, or Time Warner, or whatever they call themselves, cuts her a whopping big paycheck for doing things like puff pieces about the poor, poor, pitiful strip miners. She doesn't live here. She doesn't think about here. Here doesn't matter to her. Just like it doesn't matter to millions of my fellow countrymen. That's just fact. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob.
How are you, Kevin?
Good. I just got a new pet today, a new little kitty.
Oh, yeah? How nice.
Yep, I am currently trying to get used to it and get used to me. So that's one good thing in the world you can...
Yes, indeed.
The thing about a new kitten is that it makes you think about life and how precious a little kitten is and how these people in West Virginia don't value life, you know? And I hear you talking about it, and these kids, and you did get my email, didn't you, about asking if there was a fund or anything for them?
Yes, I did. In fact, I responded.
Okay. Well,
they are trying to raise bail and so forth. I'm gonna say something candidly.
Yep.
The single best thing that can be done to help this state is help us get the AIC Act passed.
Exactly. Yeah.
AICAct.org, there's a PayPal button there. I think there's also a snail mail address. If we can get this bill passed, then maybe we can begin to heal this state and this region. But the monies that are paid out in this thing go straight into the coffers of a system that is already hopelessly corrupt. That's one of the reasons that I have misgivings about civil disobedience in West Virginia. We wind up paying the oppressor to oppress us.
Yes. Yeah, well...
And if I sound like a jackass for saying that, I apologize. I don't want these kids to spend a minute in jail. They need a competent lawyer to take their case before a circuit judge, get their bond reduced, and get them out.
Well, they need a competent lawyer to get the sentences overturned because, like you were saying...
Well, no, there won't be any overturning those sentences because they were entered into voluntarily.
Well, I could make an argument that it wasn't voluntarily, knowing what happened with their bail. You know, there was a certain amount of fear involved, and oh, my gosh, they were charging me $25,000 bail, cash or property. And so if I don't enter this guilty plea, you know...
Right, but that only happens because they had not been taken into the circuit court to let a court of competent jurisdiction reduce that bail.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know, I just, you know, you're right, it's the AIC Act, but it's just like John was saying about the Chick-fil-A thing yesterday and not knowing what to think. We've got to get our act together on the left and focus our energy on things that matter. You know, like you're saying, is civil disobedience the best way to go, or is...
Well, no, there are places and times for civil disobedience.
Sure.
You know, the fact of the matter is, there's been civil disobedience about mountaintop removal in Washington, D.C. People have been getting arrested all over the place for years now.
Yep.
But we saw 2 years ago that the magistrates had decided that they were going to go full tilt A triple plus into the bowels of the coal industry. I mean, we've had an individual subjected to $100,000 bail
yep.
for doing nothing more than sitting down.
Yep. Yep. And that's got to change. I mean, that kind of jurisprudence corruption has got to be taken care of, but it can only be taken care of if we learn how to focus our energies. The AIC Act is something that, if it is passed, makes a difference. It makes an immediate difference. And I'm not against civil disobedience, but I understand what you're saying about, you know, let's...
Well, look, I don't want to be I don't want to be mistaken. I don't want to be taken, or I don't want to be mistaken. I admire these people. I admire these comrades. It takes guts to do what they did.
Yep.
But I don't know. Maybe this is the prudence that comes with nearing 50. But the fact of the matter is, we have had for years abundant proof that these strip miners and their families, whipped into a frenzy, are willing to do terrible violence. I've been present when they've done it.
Yep.
I've been threatened by them. My wife has been struck by them.
Yep.
All right? I've had those air horns blown by my ear. And here I am in a situation where if I can't hear, I'm toast.
Yep.
All right? These coal people are dangerous and violent and often rather ignorant. It is a toxic cocktail, Kevin.
Yes.
And I do not want. I live in fear of. I have nightmares over West Virginia's answer to Neshoba County, Mississippi. Because that state police officer was right. They'd do it, they would have no remorse for it, and they would never be caught for it, and if they were caught for it, they would never do a day in jail. You know, there's lots of lessons to learn here. The history of that whole Blair Mountain thing, the Battle of Blair Mountain, you know why it happened?
Yep.
Okay, so here's what went down. The Matewan Massacre took place, and then the coal companies bought themselves a grand jury to indict Sid Hatfield.
Right.
He was tried and acquitted. Baldwin Felt's men, who would probably go on later to be members of the West Virginia State Police, gunned him down in cold blood on the steps of the McDowell County, West Virginia courthouse.
Yep.
That is what occasioned the armed march on Logan that turned into the Battle of Blair Mountain. Murder and reprisal, and reprisal for reprisal, and reprisal for reprisal for reprisal, and murder and death all along the way. And it spirals and spirals and spirals. And here we are in 2012, and the miners have gone from being the good guys to being the bad ones.
And you don't understand it. I don't understand how union people who have struggled for better working conditions and have gone through that kind of struggle could then turn it around and be the oppressors.
Well, I could do a seminar for the next 2.5 hours, Kevin, on the history of the UMWA, especially in the last 40 years. And you might have a little better. And I'm not being condescending. It takes that kind of time to understand the sort of passive aggressive dynamic and the slow, sorry slide of the UMWA into the place where it now finds itself.
Well,
and understand, it grieves me to say such a thing, because my father was UMWA. My grandfather was UMWA. My uncles were UMWA. My great-grandfather and great-uncles were UMWA.
Yep.
But I can't I can't turn away and just pretend that I don't live in a world that is just chock full of reality.
Yep. I'm having trouble putting into words because it's... Where do you go? What do you do from here, aside from the ACAC?
That's all there is. It really is. Just about all there is.
So, and that's what I'm getting.
I mean, there might be, you know, maybe there will be an investigation of state police conduct, but I don't expect much out of this Department of Justice. I certainly don't expect much out of the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of West Virginia.
No.
There's not much evidence to suggest that he would do anything, and I don't know if Eric Holder gives a rat's rear end about what happens to innocent protesters in West Virginia. My suspicion is he doesn't.
Right.
So, sorry for that little dose of pessimism, but the only thing I know to work on. I mean, yeah, there's other things going on. Every mountaintop removal permit is challenged.
Yep.
Everything they do is met with some degree of opposition.
Yep.
But we have one, and I go back to what I was saying about the National Labor Relations Act, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
Protesting didn't bring it about.
No.
Determined work in the halls of Congress brought about the National Labor Relations Act, and determined work got Franklin D. Roosevelt's signature on it.
Yep.
The only thing that will end mountaintop removal is determined advocacy for a law that will stop mountaintop removal.
Yep.
And then determined advocacy that will see President Obama's signature on it. Oh, by the way, for everybody out there who says there's no difference between Obama and Mitt Romney, I don't know that Barack Obama would sign the AIC Act, but I know damn sure that Willard Romney wouldn't.
Yes, that is without a doubt. Mr. Romney, I guess what I'm saying, Bob, is if you look at what's going on across our country, there was a story last night about a kid that was in, well, I say kid, he was an adult, in the back of a police car that supposedly shot himself in the head while he was...
While he was handcuffed, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, where are we? We're a 50-state union that stretches 3,000 miles wide and probably 2,000 miles as long, if not more. And we have this kind of stuff happening in America? Have we degraded to that point?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
It's not, wait, we haven't degraded, we have reverted.
Right.
We were making forward progress.
Yep.
But beginning with the rise, well, you can go back and chart the rise with, what was his name? Was it Richard Viguerie who started the direct mailing in 1968? And in 1972, a man who would go on to be a justice of the Supreme Court, Lewis Powell, authored something called the Powell Memo, calling for America's corporations to band together to support the right wing and fund right wing think tanks that would do nothing but pump poison into the body politic of this country. And it gave rise to things like the Cato Institute and the Heritage Foundation.
Yep.
This has not happened by accident, Kevin. This is retrograde motion that is a direct, radical, hate-filled response to advances in basic human rights. In large part, in response to the anti-war effort against the Vietnam War and the civil rights effort in the American South.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not degraded, it's reverted. We're going backwards. This is retrograde motion.
And I'm at a loss as to what to do about it. I mean, we can talk on your show. You talk to other people on this show much smarter than me. We listen to Malloy's show. We listen to other progressive shows. But what are we really doing? you're doing the AIC Act, and those of us that have supported it call our, you know, I called Doug Lamborn's office, Pat Chancey's going to actually put his name to that, but you never know. So you do it.
Yeah, you can't just assume that nothing will happen, because if you assume nothing will happen, your assumption will be confirmed.
Yes, exactly. And what I said to Congressman Lamborn's staffer is, I said, we would never let that happen out here in the Rocky Mountains, at least not here in Colorado, not to the degree of what's happening in West Virginia, because I know even the right-wingers wouldn't stand for it because of the beauty of the mountains out here. Now, we had the scar out here for the longest time, and we have had some problems with it, but nothing like what you have out in the Appalachians. And people wouldn't stand for it. They didn't stand for it when we had that scar out here.
Right. And the difference is, you don't have 100 years of subjugation to a mono to one industry fostering a monoculture. Okay.
Yep.
And you also have that whole, you know, rugged individualism of the Wild West up by the bootstraps thing going on. It's about half the time that's a pain in the ass. The other half the time it actually proves to be useful.
Yeah,
but by the same token, you know, what's beginning to happen, what we're beginning to see happen, what has happened a few times already, is that folks have, you know, hosted gatherings where either Vernon or Bo or I have gone and talked about the AIC Act, because and that's why I talk about it so much on this program, Kevin, is I'm trying to get people to band together and be a force multiplier in their own communities, among their own neighbors.
Right.
You know, I've seen it happen. We heard the story from Larry last week about how he helped get the Representative Barbara Lee on board.
Right.
We have another caller who called Representative Poe, who is a very much Republican, and actually got a call back swearing that he would sign the act. Well, he hasn't yet.
Yep.
But you guys are being the force multiplier that the AIC Act and Appalachia needs. Now, what happens even bigger is when you spread this out into your email lists, into your friends lists, and you get a little single-minded and pain in the ass about it, and say, no, really, have you gone and looked?
Yep.
I'm not this, you know, this is not something I do so I can say I did something. This matters.
Right.
This is life and death. This is existential.
Yep. And getting people to realize that even though it's happening in the Appalachians and it doesn't necessarily look like it applies to their life, the 1,000 miles away, it really does.
The coal industry are predators, Kevin.
Exactly.
They are planning a 1,000-mile-long railroad from the Powder River Basin of Wyoming to the Columbia River Basin and Puget Sound in the American Northwest that will take tons and tons and tons and tons of coal to China, and everything from the terminus from the railhead to the terminus will be poisoned by coal. The coal industry are predators. Pure and simple. They are no less a predator than a velociraptor dinosaur was a predator. Except the velociraptor dinosaur was only acting on instinct.
Yep.
You know, a human being is the only animal I know that will kill for greed.
Yep.
You know, watching footage on Wild Kingdom or whatever of some lion chasing down a gazelle on the African savanna can be kind of brutal to see, but at least you know you're watching the female praying mantis turn her head around and bite the head off the male praying mantis in the middle of sex. That's kind of weird.
Yep.
But it is understandable within the scope of evolutionary biology. It is not understandable that human beings, for nothing more than money, will sacrifice thousands of other human beings.
Yep.
Not only against their will, but in complete ignorance that they are being sacrificed.
Exactly. And that's the third part of what you were talking about how this law came about, is when the religious right formed that pact with the Republican.
Oh, I could drive you down to the little town where I live and show you any good number of good pious Baptists and Methodists with Friends of Coal stickers on their car, thinking that Jesus loves the coal miners. Well, I reckon Jesus loves everybody, but Jesus' love and salvation is predicated upon repentance and remorse.
That's right.
And these people are unrepentant and utterly remorseless in what they do.
But you see, what I'm getting to is back in the late 70s, early 80s, I don't recall it being like this, maybe because I was younger, but I don't recall my church telling me I had to vote for a Republican or else I wasn't following the will of Jesus. I don't recall being told that how could I be a Democrat and be a Christian. When they did that with Jerry Falwell, and it goes back to what I'm getting to, is that people have got to pay attention to what happens. These people don't think anymore because they just hear it from the pulpit.
Well, you know what? You remind me of an email I got earlier today, Kevin. It came in from our buddy Mike, who invited us to come up to the picnic and music festival Jubilee in Wood County, West Virginia, the other night. He said, I'm listening to last night's show on podcast. You played Pat Robertson and those guys from Generation Radio talking about Chick-fil-A and then said that you don't know of any Christians who will say that these guys aren't Christians. Well, you do now, Bob. Read this out loud on the show tonight. For what it's worth, I'll say it. I'm a member of the Christian faith, and these freaks aren't. We know them by their fruits, and their fruits are rotten, hate and discord. Therefore, they are not Christians. I don't recognize them as members of my faith. I refuse to acknowledge them as such, despite how much they may speak of their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Anyway, looking forward to meeting you in person, says Mike, and I am looking forward to that, too. And then he says, P.S., dear God, you just reminded the audience that James Dobson has an Ed.D. in child psychology. Ah! That's my typing there. He says, I'm working my ass off to get that degree as we speak, and now you have to go and ruin it for me. Damn. Well, I wasn't trying to ruin it. I was just, you know, I'm one of them fact-based goobers, and, well, that just kind of happens. But, Kevin, I hope I'm not coming across too all-fired cranky. I don't mean it to be that way. But I'm as frustrated as you are, and you are manifesting nothing if not frustration.
Well, when you listen to Malloy's program last night, especially, different subject, same thing, he expressed that frustration. I think a lot of us are expressing that frustration.
And, you know, I don't want anybody to make the mistake of thinking, Kevin, that I'm a Bible-believing Christian, because I will not claim Christianity as long as the people like Dan Cathy and all the various and sundry freaks of the right-wing religion industry have him, all nailed down, as it were.
Yep.
But with that in mind, you know, there are some verses I remember. You know, when you're a little kid and you're in the charge of the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church, they will make you remember some Bible.
Yep.
And I remember the one of the ones that was just absolutely drummed into me, and it comes in handy every now and then, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell you book, chapter, and verse. I can just tell you what it says. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Which is a fine Elizabethan English way of saying, get out of your seat, onto your feet, and into the street. So, you know, for what it's worth, Kevin, it's been good to hear from you. I'm sorry, I monopolized. I didn't mean to soapbox on you, brother.
I totally understand. I just wish that we could find a way to get this ACAC done and to get things not just.
Well, we found a way. You know, we've got a new co-sponsor, brand new today. We may have another one tomorrow or a day after tomorrow. This thing is moving and growing.
Good.
You know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And it's more than one phone call. It's a lot of phone calls. It's, you know, one of the nice things about it is it's not a lot of money.
Yep.
This is, and I've been involved in a number of campaigns, this is probably the most efficient, low rent, well, not really, not low rent, but the most efficiently run campaign I've ever been involved in. And it has resulted in the potential for the greatest amount of positive change.
Yep.
So,
well,
you know, because step two hasn't gotten us the 1,000 miles, don't think that we won't get to the end of that 1,000 miles. We will get there. It's just going to take a little time and a lot of work.
Yep.
And you know what? My mama always told me, Kevin, it is a lot easier to be busy than it is to look busy.
That's right.
All right, my friend. You have a good evening, and we will talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Uh-huh. Bye now. That's Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Welcome, Mr. Bob.
Well, hey, Andy, what's up?
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm holding up, you know, just trying not to have an aneurysm or anything.
Man, you're on fire.
Is that why
you're
I'm sweating?
On fire.
I thought it was just because the air conditioner wasn't working real good and it was August and everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you're working up a good sweat the way you're going at it today. God, it's a tough road to hoe with this type of Congress, though. That's the problem.
Well, it is. It is. And again, that's that journey of 1,000 miles thing. But we've tried everything. You know, the whole reason the ACT campaign exists, Andy, is because we decided to take Albert Einstein at his word. And by that, I mean what he said about the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, this is something entirely different, because we were tired of getting the same result over and over again and being insane.
Well, just listening to that climate change commission in the Senate that they had on Debbie Doyen and
Brad Friedman,
piece, and then they played some snippets of that. And hearing the morons and the Neanderthals and the idiots on the Republican side, group fascists, these people are just inconscionable, man. They're just so far out there.
Well, you know, it's been a while since Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Hood, that's his real name, Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Hood, it's been a long while since he said anything outrageously stupid, so God knows he was overdue. And
that's true.
And you know if you know Alabama politics at all, you know that Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Hood is from Mobile. And for instance, my favorite beach in the world is what is called the Redneck Riviera or Lower Alabama, the white sand beaches of the northern Gulf of Mexico. And you can stand on either Dolphin Island or Gulf Shores, and you can see the oil platforms right there. I mean, they're not out there on the horizon where you can't see them. They're right up close and personal. And so, you know, Senator Sessions, I'm sure, when he goes home and takes off his clothes at night, he's got a nice thin sheen of about 10W30 all over him.
No question. Especially the Republicans from Texas, too. Man. Did you see that right-winger that...
Cruz?
Running, yeah. Man. That is a teabagger of teabaggers.
Oh, and the thing that drives me crazy about him, Andy, is that he is being bruited about by the likes of the New York Times as a brilliant young conservative. You know, in the same vein as, Eddie Munster up in Wisconsin is a brilliant conservative. Brilliant my ass, you know?
Pure fascist.
Yeah.
I don't know why they won't start using it, man, because that's what we have.
Well, they won't start using it, Andy. They will not.
They never will.
No, they will not use that word because there's nobody involved that has a Charlie Chaplin mustache, and there's nobody with black uniforms and shiny boots and peaked hats. See, we have mistaken costuming for political science. but anybody who understands the political theory of fascism knows damn good and well that fascism is what we've got.
Absolutely. With all the money in politics and the corporate influence, this is what it is, man. That's what it is. Simple as that.
Well, it's corporations dictating governmental policy, and the guy who invented fascism, Mussolini, said that's what fascism is.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, talking about that and corporations and politics, something I wanted to bring up a while ago. It was in the New York Times, June 23rd, actually, about the debate on the Dodd-Frank bill and trying to get things passed. There's a guy named Mark Wetjen, W-E-T-J-E-N, on the CFTC Commission. That's the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And he used to be the top aide to, do you know who?
Barney Frank?
Mark Wetjen. Harry Reid.
Oh, for Pete's sakes.
And this guy is the number one guy responsible for delaying Dodd-Frank, which is bad anyway, it's not going to do too much, from getting implemented.
Yeah.
And he's Harry Reid's top staff, was Harry Reid's top staffer, and Reid put him on the commission. You just talk about the cronyism in Washington and all of them being bald, all of them political hacks. You know, just working for Wall Street, friends of Wall Street, you know, both parties. It's just so, such a shame. And they were trying to do something about credit default swaps, you know, which brought down AIG and which caused the problems with the credit default swap index over at JP Morgan, where they just lost $5.8 billion. They want to try to rein in the credit default swaps and have more regulation on that. And Wetjen is the guy that's he's delayed that 12 months. He's given Wall Street 12 more months. And this guy, a Democrat, right? A Democrat on the CFTC Commission. Yeah, it's just a joke. Joke. Anyway.
And it's, well, so again, I don't know. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe it's a joke, Andy, but I ain't laughing.
Right. Again, it's the collision, you know, of the corporate interests with our political system, with both parties just totally bought and paid for by Wall Street.
Yeah.
Harry Reid's man is the number one hindrance to getting Dodd-Frank done. Thanks, Harry. Thank you.
Yeah.
Harry Reid just kills me because he talks so out of his rear end. It is unbelievable with the stuff he does.
Well, and you know, Harry Reid should have stopped being Senate Majority Leader a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from a friggin' state that could be like Uganda, for God's sake.
But you know, the terrifying thought, again, what I said about the difference between Obama and Romney, I hope Obama would sign the AIC Act if it was to get passed. But I know Romney wouldn't. And
absolutely.
By the same token, can you imagine what would happen to the AIC Act in the Senate if Mitch McConnell of Kentucky was the Senate Majority Leader?
Well, you're talking, you know, it's not even going to happen. It's not even going to come up for a vote if that's the situation.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not going to happen anyway, not with Republicans, not with Boehner in charge of the...
No, but there's, you know, you got to do the work.
I mean, because you could, as soon as you get that shift, we can bring that up.
Yeah.
Soon as the Democrats get a hold.
And so, you know, we're going to keep plugging away on this. We're going to keep plugging away on this through the end of this Congress, and it will be reintroduced in the next one.
Yeah, and then you can work on the Senate once it gets through the House.
Right.
But how about Mitt Romney on his international Death Star tour?
Jesus God.
Everywhere he went. He managed to cause an outrage, an uproar, to upset people. I love when he went to Israel and he started doing all that racist stuff with how Palestinians just have an awful culture.
Culturally inferior.
Right. They're just an inferior race.
You know, maybe if the white phosphorus munitions weren't going off in the occupied territories, they might have a little more luck. Building some hope in there in the Palestinian people. I mean,
you're not even allowed to bring in cement or bricks or wood to build anything. And when you get the Israelis bombing the hospitals and bombing the electrical power and taking out anything to create any kind of economic prosperity at all. Are you kidding me? And you know what kills me, too? He was throwing out numbers as far as GDP per capita while he was giving his stupid...
Yeah, and he even got that wrong, didn't he?
Right. He was way off. Right. He said Israel per capita was 21,000. Right. It's actually 28,000. Right. So he's off. And he said the Palestinians had a GDP per capita of 10,000. No, try again. It's 1,500. That's 28,000 for the Israelis GDP per capita and 1,500 for the Palestinians. That is total depravity, total poverty. The Palestinians, you know.
Well, it's economic genocide, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. It's a concentration camp. It's been a concentration. The only thing the Israelis want is to starve those people out and take over that land. That's all they've ever wanted. And Romney plays right into it.
Well, Romney, you know, again, and I think you pointed it out, that, you know, Romney and that psychopath Netanyahu are old business buddies.
Right. They used to work together.
And, you know, again, and this is also, you know, this is also a function of the myopia that seems to come with vast wealth. Willard Romney can't even see Palestinians. It is as if he would need a scanning electron microscope to view one, because they are so far beneath his wealth, you know, never in a million years could he begin to comprehend the suffering of the Palestinian people. I mean, this is a guy, after all, who did his Mormon missionary work out of a palace in France.
Correct.
I mean,
well, other people were getting their heads blown off in Vietnam.
Well, or other Mormons were in Guatemala or Bolivia or, you know, God knows where. You know, places where they'd have to get off and push their bicycles.
Right.
But not Willard. Oh, no, not Willard. Did you notice? I mean, because I did. Did you notice that his tour inexplicably did not include France?
You know, he speaks fluent French.
Yes, he does.
But he won't use it. I wonder why. Might not come over well with all those rednecks that are going to vote for him.
Right.
He speaks fluent French. Amazing.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, people are objects, man. To him, the plutocrat that he is, people, workers in particular, are just objects to be used and exploited. People are to be...
Don't forget the discarded part. Used and exploited, but Andy, don't forget the discarded part.
Right, take their pensions, take their livelihoods, take their health care. He don't give a rat's ass. He could care less, because that's the way he's brought up, a man of privilege.
Yeah, and not to seem like...
Never worked a day in his goddamn life.
No.
Everything was handed to him, just like Bush. God, him and Bush are so much alike, right from patrician fathers, from families of enormous wealth and social status, the same thing. They just stamp on people, man. There's no empathy for your fellow man whatsoever out of either of these dudes.
And not to sound like a one-trick pony, but we were bringing up the abuse of working people. I want to bring this to your attention as well as the Horn family, because you probably understand the workings of this a little better than I do. The mountaintop removal site that those protesters went up on is called Hobet, H-O-B-E-T. It's actually a misspelling of Hobbit. It really is. You know, like for Tolkien.
Wow.
But it is owned by a company called Patriot Coal. And Patriot Coal employs some union miners. Union workers, they're not miners, those people that work on those things. They're demolition experts and excavators and heavy equipment operators. They are not miners. This I know. But anyway, the people that work for Patriot at Hobet, guess what Patriot recently did? Well, Andy, Patriot recently declared bankruptcy.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, I thought that was the...
So all of those workers up on top of that mountaintop removal site who were all so mad at them tree huggers, guess who's getting ready to F them till they can see it coming out their mouths. Patriot Coal. Patriot Coal, the employer that they were down there defending. Because guess what's going to be on the list of liabilities?
Oh, it's time to renegotiate those labor contracts.
Oh yeah, and it's also time to put those pensions and those health care plans on the list of liabilities and get a compliant bankruptcy judge to make them all go away.
Right, just throw them out. There's no obligation any longer. It's the corporation, the health of the corporation that comes first. Forget those shortfalls in the liabilities. Yeah, they're gone. They're written off.
Precisely.
Look at that pension. Forget about that pension, Jack. It is amazing. You're talking about that, how the worm has turned. The miners have become such a... they just don't have their heads together. Where they were the heroes during the Matwan battles, and they were on the right side, and here they are on the wrong side.
Out there humping for a company that is getting ready to hump them.
Right. That could care less. You know, again, the whole raw money thing. Could care less about their well-being whatsoever.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
That doesn't matter.
Kind of breathtaking, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, the degree of ignorance. And you know what's
what they did, man.
Well, you know what's funny? The signs that the protesters had up on the site: protect the workers, reemploy the workers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so people who were actually up there on that mine site, the destruction site, demolition site, advocating for their well-being, were met by the people for whom they were advocating with slurs, vulgarities, threats, assaults, stalking, and terrorism. Aided and abetted by the West Virginia State Police. Just imagine that,
yeah.
Andy.
Yeah, just like the civil rights movement, the same.
Yeah.
The same deal. Except, again, labor, for the most part, were the people that were having their civil rights stomped on. But here, again, you know, just like you said, they're just blinded by these corporate entities. They just can't see the truth through the money, through their wages.
Well, it is hard to get a person to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
Absolutely. Famous quote.
Gets a little more true every day, at least this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah, just another thing, too, about that trip. I couldn't believe Lech Walesa when Romney went to Poland. I know Poland has really gone off on the neoliberal bent and the free market stuff, but that was incredible. Here, the guy that was ahead of Solidarnosc, whatever, and here he is giving the seal of approval to a fascist, a guy that could care less about labor unions, that would want to crack down on anybody organizing anything. Here's Lech Walesa giving the seal of approval of Mitt Romney.
Did everything but kiss the ring, didn't he?
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, what rat is crawling around Walesa's head? Man.
Well, isn't it the same thing that we see time and time again? He got a little money in his pocket and started feeling like he was a plutocrat?
That's the way it's been explained.
Because the rank and file didn't sign off, did they?
No, they didn't. No, they distanced themselves from him as much as they could.
But I think he went to. Yeah, I think Willard went to Poland because, and you know this better than I. He and his people know that there is a strong rightward bent in that country. You know, they're still on their own. I don't know how they feel about it now. They're still on their own currency. But at one point in time, they sure enough did want to get into the EU and get them some euro, didn't they?
Yes, and I believe they're still supposed to move in that direction. but they're on the lobby, I think.
Yeah, Z-L-O-T-Y. I've never known how. Do you pronounce
the lobby, the, right?
Yeah, you, I don't think you pronounce the Z. Or maybe it's Zwadi.
I've been there and used it in the southern part. But they are a very, very right wing. A lot of it is due to the Catholic influence.
Yeah.
They're strongly religious influenced, and that has a bearing. There is a left wing there, and it just doesn't get the traction because the government is pretty much center right.
Well, I was told by some of my new friends in Germany while I was over there that. That you can go to Poland and have a real good time because the exchange rate is very favorable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it made me want to vomit, though, to hear Lech Walesa do that. God, I lost total faith in him, boy.
Yeah, but I think he went to the dark side a good while back, though, didn't he?
I didn't realize it. Maybe when he was in office, maybe so. I guess I didn't follow it close enough. I know some of the other politicians there definitely have, definitely, you know, their support of Bush and our shenanigans in Iraq and all that. They were 100% behind us with that, which again makes you want to gag.
Right.
But they really have bitten off on the whole neoliberal free markets, free enterprise garbage baloney from the think tanks, you know, the Heritage and the Cato and the
That's because those think tanks have been going hammer and tongs at them. They're not just operating inside the territorial confines of the United States.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They are all over Europe trying to push their baloney, push their free market garbage, and smaller government. They keep doing this, you know, so the workers get lambasted. So there's workers.
Smaller government's just cody for smaller pits.
Yeah. Yeah, put everybody on nominator. Of the minimum wage, so there's all low wage, and we're supposed to just take it. You know, we're just supposed to take it and suck it up. Yeah, we're going to suck it up. It's time the rich start sucking it up. Anyway, yeah, talk about the workers. Talk about the postal service, man. Tell everybody in the horn, don't use FedExpress and don't use UPS, man. Go right to the postal service. Even if it costs a little more, man, help those people out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of workers there that are going to get their heads handed to them if the Republicans do what they want to do. Darrell Issa and his gang of
thugs.
Butchers. Yeah, they are. He is a gangster, man. He is a gangster as a congressman. This is a gangster. A confirmed felon in Congress. There's another guy. You know, a worker is just an object to him. A citizen. We are just objects to those people. You know, for their own gratification. But they want to do in the Postal Service at all costs, and that's ISIS, baby.
Yes, it is.
Hammer that away, get rid of all those local offices. No service on Saturdays. It'd be a shame.
Delivery 3 days a week, maybe two.
Yeah.
Mondays and Fridays.
Knock off about 150,000 workers or so. Union workers. Good union paying jobs.
Right.
Son of a gun! Just to lower that. Gain.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand me, Andy. When I start talking about the UNWA the way I do, I am decidedly pro labor and pro union. Always have been, always will be.
Well, I've heard that president of the UNWA, he's out of there. I mean, he's totally in bed with the coal industry, and you said it on your show, and I've heard him talk, you know, other outside of the horn. This guy is a nut. I mean, he is just bought and paid for by the coal industry. I don't think he has the workers anything cares a bit about them. He's all about growing the coal industry. That's it. Saving coal.
Yeah.
That's it. That's his mantra. The workers be damned. He just wants to keep the coal industry flourishing. And I'm sorry, King Coal is going out. I don't care what they do.
Well, there's less than 25 years of the stuff left in the ground here. What do these poor benighted fools think? Do they think that the coal companies are going to throw them a party, re-educate them, give them long-term pensions, or cover their asses? You know, there's another one of those videos out there. I didn't play it on the show of one of the coal workers' wives saying, My little four-year-old boy, you know what? If you asked him what he wants to do, he'd say he wants to be just like his daddy. Well, you know what? That little four-year-old can't be just like his daddy because there won't be a coal industry and there won't be any coal.
I mean, retire with black young and die at age 50. Beautiful.
Just like daddy did.
Right, and then that UMW guy is doing nothing for the people.
Cecil Roberts. Now, I know a lot of retired underground miners that, to harken back to something Irish Dave mentioned, I know a lot of underground miners who are retired who wouldn't piss on Cecil Roberts to put out a fire.
Right, he's doing nothing for those people that have black lung now, which is up on the, you know, which is on the rise again because the standards and the regulations.
Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't know, Andy,
not looking out for them.
The Republican budget cuts black lung the budget line items. Because, you know, who cares, right?
Right. Workers are just an object. That's all. They're just an object to be used, abused, and thrown to the curb, man. Now, you're done. You got black lung. You're done. You help yourself.
Yeah.
it's like Saab Erekat said, man. You know, culture, it's not our culture. It's not the reason for the culture that we're in the situation we're in. We're under an occupation. No, it's an occupation, just like you guys are being occupied by the coal industry, man. They're being occupied by the Israelis.
Yeah, this is an occupation.
An occupation, right. It's the occupiers, and you're just being oppressed.
Right, we've already got Occupy in West Virginia. The only problem is the people doing the occupying are the people who are also doing the oppressing. It's the coal industry.
Right. I'm sure the GDP per capita, too, for the individual in West Virginia is probably a low.
Oh, Jesus, it's pathetic.
The Palestinians at $1,500 compared to $28,000. That's what oppression does.
Well, that's why I've said on this program a number of times that I've got more in common with a Palestinian than I do a lot of Americans.
Right. The money from West Virginia gets sucked into New York. That goes to Wall Street.
It goes to Frankfurt. It goes to London. It goes to Edinburgh. It goes to Zurich. It goes to Paris.
Right. It goes to the bankers, the big investors, the plutocrats, who stick the money in there on the and get the, you know, the expenses and the costs are all on the cheap. They're all borne by West Virginia. You guys pay for it. What's the word for that? Externalities. All the externalities are borne by West Virginia,
yeah.
Not by the bankers at Deutsche Bank in Frankfurt, right?
Right, because, you know, those externalities amount to 3,975 dead innocent West Virginians every year, Andy.
Right, right. All the environmental damage is borne by you folks. And you don't get paid enough to clean that up. In
some cases, not at all.
Right.
Yeah.
It sucks. Anyway, I've had my say.
Well, it's awful good to hear from you, Andy. You take care.
All right, big time. Still trying to... I got up in front of a DFA meeting. I gave a little pitch for H.R. 5959 yesterday, trying to get some of the folks to get on the horn and meeting the phone and call our Congress people, get them going.
Yeah, and you know, one other thing, just to point it out, if anybody wants to contact Tim Carpenter at Progressive Democrats of America... I think that could be very, very useful. We need H.R. 5959 to be a signature high visibility issue for PDA.
Well, you know, they have it on their website. There was a press release, and they put it on the PDA website because I remember seeing it there. So that was pretty impressive.
Well, if we can bring the progressive community on board, I think we can make a lot more noise. See, we still need people like Ed Markey. We still need people like Waxman. We still need people like Frank Pallone.
I don't understand why the entire progressive caucus, which would be the, you know, the Raul Grijalva crew, what there's like. What, 90 of them or something like that? It's the largest caucus in Congress. I think there's 90 of them. I don't know why the whole progressive caucus, but Frankie Pallone my old congressman, he ain't no progressive. I mean, he might go out on a limb on a few issues.
Well, but see, the thing is, he was an
original. He's a DLC-er, man. Yeah, I know. He did some stuff, and you've alluded to Frankie in the past.
Yeah, he sponsored that piece of legislation that's it's good as far as it goes, but it doesn't stop mountaintop removal. He sponsored that.
Right.
There's no reason he shouldn't be on this.
No, this doesn't harm him. He has nothing to do. It's not going to hurt him in his New Jersey district whatsoever, so you think this should be a no-brainer for him. But Frankie's a DLC-er, man. He's a third way. So I don't know what, like I said, this should be something he can sign on to. But other things, you know, he's not a progressive. He's not even effing close. He's a corporate Democrat. He's a Wall Street boy, big time.
And that, you know,
a little mafia. He's got a whole. He comes from a long line of plutocrats in New Jersey. You know, that's just another one that's, you know, filling in his old man's footsteps.
Oh, we, you know,
heavy hitter of New Jersey.
But you know what?
We still need him. Well, you need everybody you can get. Like I said, this shouldn't affect him. This is something he can look good at to the environmentalist New Jersey, and it shouldn't affect him at all. You know, like some of the Wall Street people get on his ass.
And so, you know, if there's anybody out there listening who is in Representative Pallone's district, get after him.
Yeah, that's the Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah.
Monmouth and Ocean County, which, like I said, shouldn't harm him at all in his home district. Should only be a plus for him, like I said, unless Wall Street gets on his case. But mainly he's the healthcare guy, because he was the head of used to be, when the Democrats were in charge, he was the head of the healthcare committee. So he had a lot to do with Obama's Affordable Care Act. And through him, and I used to call his office all the time, he would have nothing to do with single payer or the public option. That wasn't even in the cards with him. He's a pure capitalist insurance company guy, period.
Mm.
End of story. Because that's who funds him. That's his major funder, the health insurance companies. Anyway.
Well, have yourself a great evening, Andy. Thanks for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. Keep up the fire.
Going to try. I got it. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Later now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Andy calling from California. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob. How are you today?
Brother Albert, how are you?
My goodness. Well, that was a good call by Andy. Got to agree with him on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Andy, the Postal Service, notwithstanding, Andy never mails it in.
No doubt. Man, that was, poor Postal Service. I'm telling you, we lose that, and you know. That's because ISA has lots of UPS and FedEx stock. And no doubt in that game, they're going to double it immediately. Immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People cried about, oh, went up another 2 cents again.
Yeah, wait till it costs you $15 to mail a postcard.
Yeah, seriously. And, you know, that sense of privilege, it is pretty disgusting, huh? Romney and the miners affected with the same debilitating condition. The same exact thing. They can't see the forest for the trees because they're both, you know, privileged and, you know, right? Don't the coal miners there have a sense of... Yeah,
they have a sense of entitlement. They feel like they've got a constitutional right to blow up mountains.
Yeah, that's their coal. You know, I happened to watch, I don't know if anyone else caught it, but if you haven't, my God, if you want a nightmare, it's the compounding nightmare of reality. What's going on up in Alaska regarding this giant copper pit mine they want to throw at the headwaters of the last pristine salmon run in the world. And, you know, of course, it's, you know, I mean, the natives there that are against it, they already know. You know, I mean, there's one thing you can sometimes look at your struggle and good about is that at least somebody else is paying attention, you know, because all these natives there that know that, you know, the distilled water that these, you know, little spry fish need, you know, in order to, you know, develop until they can be out in the ocean and become that salmon that everyone likes, right? Salmon, it's a resource. We can catch 50% of it and it still be sustainable forever. But this coal, the copper and the gold and the bauxite and all the other things in there, they want to make a giant pit mine. Pit mine, all the way down. Fill all the tailings, dams, 100 billion tons mountain range worth of tailings. And then locals know that in 50 years they'll say, oh, we declare bankruptcy. And then, you know, those tailings dams that need to be watched forever and maintained forever, you know, will just go to the state and the people. And, you know, of course we can afford that, right? We can afford to, you know, always clean up after these corporations, after they, and what are they doing with it? What are they doing with this money? What are they doing with it? I know that, what, $21 trillion is overseas, right? In the Mitt Romney, Captain Cobol, or Kolob Spaceship Club, right? They got $21 trillion sitting out, you know, wherever, Cayman Islands, corporations, so on. He's one of those guys that's even, that started one of those boogie nonsense corporations, didn't he? And this, oh my god, I can't believe this guy is weenier than John Kerry and twice as rich. He speaks French.
Toaster.
I mean, come on now. I mean, you know, and this is who they're voting for.
Now, you know, you know what? We just need to get Willard, and, but the Republicans are too smart for this, Albert. We need to get Willard into that sperm suit. Remember the sperm suit?
Yeah, when he went and visited the semiconductor lab or whatever.
Yeah. I think Kerry and Dukakis both got talked into the sperm suit.
Yeah. No, they ain't gonna. I don't know though. Willard, you know, he can't walk. You know, he can barely walk. He can't go anywhere without insulting everyone. You know, I mean, he's got to pay dudes to kiss his ring. You know, what country was that? Was it Spain where he was at? And they're chanting Obama?
No, that was Poland, wasn't it?
Poland, yeah. Maybe, you know, even the people, I know you guys are talking about, you know, and yeah, we can see that, yeah, they were one of the coalition of the willing. Coalition of the willing. Oh my god. Oh. Yeah, Poland, huh? You know, the people aren't there, and that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, Mitt Romney. I mean, you know, if we want to see, you know, the total death of the, you know, he could bring it back. He has that special touch that he could bring us back to, you know, 1908.
Yeah, right. It's time for Leave It to Willard. Starring Hugh Beaumont.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus.
It's, and
act now, vote for Willard, and you get a free brand new closet to get back into.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, the mask is off, Brother Bob. It's, that mask has been off. Isn't it just the most grotesque creature? Just, and you know, oh my God. Oh my God.
No, I mean, yeah, we're moving, Willard's moving quickly toward Cthulhu land, right?
Yeah. Too quickly. I thought that was him coming out. That's what I looked, it was scary then. It's scary.
Is his middle name Harkonnen?
Yeah, he is a Harkonnen. All those Replicants are Harkonnens. You know, I mean, if you read the book, you'll see, you know, what happens, you know, because they actually do talk about that planet. It's mined out. It's core. Dead, lifeless, acrid. It's a desert wasteland with no worms.
Geedy, you know, Prime.
Yeah.
Well, that's Willard's, maybe that's the planet Willard gets. Maybe Willard gets Geedy Prime.
I mean, well, you gotta think how entitled you'd feel if you know you already have one. You know, who knows what it is.
Just passing through, folks, just picking up a little money. Yeah, Earth is just a big Stuckies for him.
But I like money, though. I like money. Yeah. He's a big stucky. He's one of them 7-Elevens. He's such a creep. This guy.
You know, and the oil reserves under the in the crust of planet Earth is just a big Slurpee.
Yeah.
It's a big gulp. It's a super big gulp.
Oh my God. Mittens. My God. I like that. What is it? Rotten money.
Raw money?
Raw money. Raw money, yeah. He likes money. I mean, you know, and what is Harry Reid doing? What is he doing?
I'd love to be able to, you know, I'd love to be that really super smart political analysis guy who can tell you. But you got the wrong show, brother Albert.
No, that guy needs to sit down. You know, he's, I don't know, you're right. I don't know why he is sending him. I don't know, understand. I don't get it. You know, we just, I mean, you know, he
well, remember,
plays his backbone. Come on.
Well, remember, Harry's, you know, Harry's got a spaceship, too.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, I offended somebody. I did the whole Scientologist. Oh, don't insult Mormons. Oh, so a Scientologist, that's okay. I mean, that's not okay, but the Mormons is okay. Okay. Okay.
Right, because it's got, you know, it's 18th century Scientology, so that patina of been around for a while. You know, that's one of the curses of so short a human life, Albert. If we lived longer, I don't think we would do so many dumb things. Or maybe it would take longer to do dumb things. You know, if we were all, you know, if you know, there can be only one, you know, if we were all Highlander, then maybe we wouldn't, I don't know. Am I wrong? Would we still be just as stupid, just taking a longer view toward the stupid?
I would like to think that, you know, if people were around to see the impacts, you know, to see, you know, when the Hoover Dam fails because there's not enough funding to remove all the silt and it comes, you know, it just cracks and then it's just a cracked wall in the mountain, you know what I mean? It's holding back this, you know, and there's a waterfall or whatever. You know, and then it becomes the Hoover waterfall. You know, I'd like to think that they would, I don't know, make things better. I mean, how, look at it like this. You buy a washing machine, right? It lasts 5 years. Well, if you live for 1,000 years, how many freaking washing machines are you going to have in your life? The washing machine will become the bane of your existence, and you'll say to yourself, you know, in the 1,000 years that you live, you'll say, why can't they build one to last 7 years? You know, and hopefully that would start a whole new era of, like, let's see how long we can get things to last. And do we really need to, you know, constantly rip, you know, copper out of the ground? Well, we already have so much copper anyway. Why can't we just recycle it? You know, we're running out of these things. You would think that, you know, the health effects when people would actually have to live with some, you know, misinformed, you know, limb and what have you, and or have, you know, their sixth kidney transplant or kidney printing, you know, going to the organ bank is a monthly occurrence. You would get tired of doing that, you would think. You know, but I don't know. They keep showing the same dumb crap on TV, so you never know. People have a long, you know, it might be 1,000 years of just reruns. And
well, you know, that's why I find so much value in speculative fiction, brother Albert. You know, whether we're talking about Dune or for instance, the book that Reverbo put us all onto a long time back, Richard K. Morgan's Altered Carbon.
Mm.
It's exactly that. The book Repo Men.
Mm-hmm.
Repo Men deals with, you know, going to the organ bank for a new one every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole credit bubble that develops over what happens when you can't make the payments on your new heart. There's an element of... necessarily fiction. It's a... You know, some people can see things that other people can't see.
And, you know, by using, you know, these symbolisms like that, you know, hopefully we get it and start to change the direction. That's the whole point, right? What did he say? I don't write science fiction to make it true. I mean, I don't write science fiction, you know, to scare you. I write science fiction so it doesn't happen. That kind of stuff. Was that Robert Heinlein said that? Somebody said.
Yeah.
And I know I'm butchering the hell out of it, but, you would think that we would say, hey, you know, learn from other people's mistakes, you know.
Right.
I like to think that the natives in Alaska, you know, they value the salmon too much. It's too deep in their, you know, heritage to go along with this. Because it really is, you know, I mean, it's a complete reverse mountain, you know, these pit mines. You know, I mean, these things are ridiculous. You know, I think they could fit three of the anacondas into this one that they're planning.
Yeah, the Anaconda copper, right, yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they start talking about, you know, you could see the lobbyists. I don't know. No, we're not going to kill any fish. We're just going to hurt copper. You know, and he's like, oh, mining district. You get right, he's like Jabba the Hutt. You can see it. You can see that. I mean, it's like you look at this guy. You're 70 years old. You know, by the time this thing even, you know, breaks ground, you'll, you know, more than likely be on the next adventure there. I think somebody like that should have to stick around. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, we should have eternity elixirs or whatever, and, you know, to really heinous criminals, give it to them and then seal them in plexite or something. And, you know, like never, they can never get out. They're in this ball and they don't get to breathe or drink or whatever, but they get to watch maybe the world become a really awesome place and be a lesson for everybody. That's who deserves the eternities. These, you know, people that destroy others' lives for no reason.
Oh, by the way, Albert, I got to tell you, you got an email in from Tim from L.A.
Oh, hey, Tim.
He said about Alaska and salmon. He said, sadly, speaking of Alaska and the salmon, even if Alaska does everything, even if the U.S. does everything to clean the U.S., end all pollution and reintroduce the salmon to a cleaner environment, he said, would you please remind Brother Albert that we still have Fukushima to contend with, and a lawsuit won't work because of the goddamn Alien Law Act, a.k.a. tort reform for foreign countries. And what he says is true. And I might also add that I saw something fly across the screen earlier today that bluefin tuna from Fukushima are now being found off the West Coast, you know, because they do migrate.
Mm.
And they're bringing their little radioactive selves.
Mm-hmm.
There went Saturday night's trip to the sushi joint.
Hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? And I'm going to see the silver lining on this. I have to. Perhaps that's good. Maybe fish need to be radioactive for a couple of decades so we stop eating them like they're infinity. You know, there's an infinite supply. You know, maybe they can handle it and withstand and, you know, adapt and, you know.
It's about the only silver lining there is.
I mean, and this is the only thing I could think of in terms of that, because we definitely need, you know, the ocean to be in a better condition. You know, now the radioactivity, I know it's there.
But wait a minute, Albert. There you go thinking with that rational, higher-level primate brain you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the fish are radioactive, let's not eat the fish for a while. Because, man, that's all Occam's razor and simple and elegant, right?
Yeah, well.
Okay, can I give you the right-wing lizard brain consume it all as fast as you can alternative? Yeah, I know. Sit down.
No, but
new from GlaxoSmithKline. Radioactive tuna getting you down. Eat all you want. We've got super anodized iodine formulation that we've recently patented, and it'll take care of that cobalt, thorium, G, and iodine and
nobody's buying that. No way. They could try.
You don't think? Wait a minute. I just happened to have my ruin Scott and Linda's dinner story right here. From Mother Jones, charts. Why your chicken is still making you sick. And you know, we've kind of gotten lost in the weeds, as Dr. John noted with the whole Chick-fil-A thing. It's not like if you go over to the Colonel's, you're going to get a better Chick-fil-A, or better chicken, okay?
They love homosexuals at the Colonel's, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got to run that, don't I? But no, all this stuff, there is no better chicken. Well, I mean, there is some, but it's damned hard to find. Maybe your little co-op there in Wisconsin has it, Albert. You know, organic, no hormones, no yada, right. You know, grew a beak during its life, that kind of thing.
Yep. Ate crickets.
Yeah. So the Tom Philpott over at Mother Jones notes, got a tummy ache? It could well be something you ate. That's the message from the Centers for Disease Control. This is just mind-boggling. That's the message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's latest assessment of foodborne illnesses, dropped on its website with zero fanfare. In other words, Don't say anything that might make the industry upset. Not even a press release Friday afternoon last. It shows that infection rates for most common food-related pathogens are either inching up or holding steady and occurring, and this is important, at levels above the CDC's own targets.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Campylobacter, Salmonella, Shigella, Listeria. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, and of course we've only have three antibiotics that we use, and of course, you know, these antibiotics are, you know, sitting there, and you know what? And you know what? Maybe I am a little Pollyannish, you know, because...
I'm not saying that.
Was coming at, no, hang on, because just where Andy was calling from, you know, it's a little drought, you know, going on, and, you know, people's grass is kind of getting brown, and they can't sell their house, so they've been painting their grass green, and that makes me write to the sun and ask the sun for a triple gamma ray burst, you know, just get it on standby in case, you know, they do sell... GlaxoSmithKline, anti-iodine, monohydrated, you know, whatever, eats pills. If that happens, I'm telling you, I'll light the sun, we'll have a triple gamma ray burst, and we'll start over from sponges and anemone. That's where we'll start from there again. I mean, it just has to happen, because sponges will be all right. They're tough. You know, these human beings, you know, I mean, we can't have this kind of crap. And, you know, that's the other thing, too. You're painting your friggin' lawn green. That's true. Go look.
Yes.
That's a true story. Painting your lawn green when it's a worthless piece of land anyway. I mean, lawn is worthless. It's garbage. You know, if foodborne illness is getting you down, grow your own freaking chickens. You know, well, you're not employed. What else are you doing? You know, plant some eggplant. Plant some of this. Plant one zucchini and feed.
Yeah, I love it. I love it that we have toxins to throw on our yards to keep the actual grasses that are good for us from living. I'm thinking in this instance in particular of course, dandelions.
Dandelion, yeah. Which, of course, in turn feed the bees, which, of course, in turn, you know, give us fruits and nuts and most
things. And you know what? A dandelion doesn't mind it a damned little bit, Albert. If you go out and you pick the little tender green leaves, they're going to shoot that flower up anyway. They're going to put that puffball up. There's going to be more dandelions. And oddly enough, you know, let's see, Dan and Yogurt promoted, Ukrainians some years back as being so ever so long-lived. Well, some other long-lived people are on the island of Crete. I can remember we used to have a listener from Crete. I don't know if he's still out there. I hope he is. He was trying to get into graduate school here in the U.S. If you're there, hey. But the diet in Crete... seems to produce people who live to be 100 and some, too.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what they eat just an absolute boatload of?
I know exactly what they eat.
Dandelion greens.
That's right.
They have them for lunch. They have them for dinner. They have them on toast at breakfast. They cook them. They braise them. They stew them. They boil them. They have them in salads.
Yeah.
And they're good.
Yeah. My grandmother brought them. I mean, I know her family brought dandelions, you know, from Italy. You know, I mean, it's part of the things you're supposed to grow. I mean, it's part of the crops and the food sources that we used to grow, you know, for hundreds of years. You know, and it's right in your yard, and you're sitting here spraying God knows what on it. I mean, it's, you know, and of course, you know, you're not going to kill it either. You know, nature's a little stronger than that, you know. Now they have, right, how many Roundup resistant plants, the weeds,
right.
How many, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, we think we affect, you know, we think we're gonna beat them, but what we're doing is we're poisoning ourselves. We're drinking the poison and thinking we're gonna hurt somebody else. You know, it's stupid and dumb, and I hope we're starting to, you know, I think people are starting to get it. There's far more people when I say, hey, you know, rip up some of your stupid yard that gets sun and make something useful out of it. You know, you see this stuff happening all over the place. It's happening on the television, which is good. It's, you know, people, you know, that couple just retired to become self-sustaining, you know. And, I mean, I remember when I was growing up, there was another old couple, and they went up to Maine and did the same thing. And I remember it shocked me. I remember they didn't have TV. And I was like, wow, you don't have TV? You know, but yeah, and they went up there, and they're not alone. You know, there's a lot of people that are going and homesteading and doing these kinds of things, but a lot of us are stuck in suburbia or stuck in a small town, you know. So, well, why do you need a lawn? What What the hell's their lawn doing for
you? You know what? I was looking for reasons that don't bear the detail, but I was looking up the Zach Brown Band earlier today.
Okay.
And it turns out the Zach Brown Band, as of like March 2011, put up a song for sale for 99 cents over at Patagonia.com. You know, they make clothing, Patagonia does. And in turn, they take their profits and they turn them back into organizations that are trying to make this a more livable planet. And the Zach Brown Band gave the proceeds of their 99-cent song to an organization called, it was something like Urban Farmers, for taking brownfields and turning them back into productive spaces where people can grow food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that plus, I mean, I just lost it. Damn it, Brother Bob. But, yeah, no, you know, turning that stuff, city gardening, rural gardening, you know, just gardening, it's good for you, it's good for your kids, it's good for everybody, and then you get to eat it, you know, and then, I mean, you know.
Watch out for those polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons in the soil, or at least that's what we have to do here.
Hey, and you know what, honestly, what's the worst? The worst you can do is what? Compost everything, right? Let the micronutrients in your soil, billions of them we can't even identify. You know, put some solar panels. Solar panels getting so cheap now. What? 26% of Germany's electricity this summer is being generated by solar alone. 26%. I mean, why does this higher latitude, I mean, they're higher latitude than we are here down in Wisconsin, and we're higher than you. You know what I mean? So if we could do it, you could do it, and anyone else in this freaking country could do it, and why can't this country have 80% of its electricity from solar. I know the bad. Hey, Liquid Earth batteries. Go Google the video and watch it.
And you know, we do like the occasional hopeful moment.
Mm.
And I got one for you.
All right.
And it's only fair because I've been gooning on Iowa's 5th congressional district for at least two nights now. You know, those are the goobers who send Steve King to the Congress, and Steve King apparently is still working on figuring out that whole law of holes thing, because after the whole dogfighting thing, and then yesterday the story about how his explanation about the dogfighting thing, where he explained that it's legal in America to kidnap little girls, take them across state lines, rape them, and then get them an abortion.
Yeah,
I know. Okay. I know. Well, today, he doubled down.
Yay!
And he said that, oh, damn, this may be one of those, yay, the eye.
I'm telling you, you feel it.
He said today that diversity has never been America's strong suit. So that's why the Congress should pass a law that he proposed that would make English the official U.S. language, and it would unify the country. And here's the quote.
What year is this?
Here's the quote. It's apparently some year that doesn't recognize the fact that Spanish was the first European language spoken on in any continent of the Americas. But screw us and our history, right, Albert?
Yeah. Oh, what's that? Yeah.
One of the great things about America is we've been unified by a common language. That common language, of course, is English. Our language is getting subdivided by some forces of the federal government. It's time to speak with a common voice. The argument that diversity is our strength has really never been backed up by logic. Its unity is where our strength is. Our founding fathers understood that. Modern-day multiculturalists are defying that. And just as Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, he was all offended yesterday. Well, Steve King, he's offended too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said it's offensive that anybody would say his bill's racist. He said, they should be specific about that rather than just hurl that out there. That divides people. But he's already said we're already divided. But no, that's just to let you know that Steve King still being Steve King. On the other hand, and you will, and I will, and the Horn family will, Albert, be proud of this. I don't anticipate asking anybody to vote for Iowa Governor Terry Branstad anytime soon. But Willard done come out and said, once he gets to be president of the spaceship, I mean America.
Captain, president.
Yeah. Beautiful. Once he gets to be captain, president, fleet admiral, damn it, captain my ass, that he's going to make sure that wind production tax credit goes away. He was campaigning in Colorado, and he said, I like it. Wait, no, really, not kidding. I like renewables. That's what he said. That was his support for renewable energy. I like renewables. I like money. But he said, no, he said, you know, that damn socialist, communist, wind power tax credits out of here. Okay? Well, over there, not too awful far from Colorado, there's Iowa way, where the governor is Republican Terry Branstad. And Iowa has 7,000 people putting food on their families because they've got jobs in the wind energy sector. And Iowa Governor Terry Branstad said it needs to be continued. Not forever, but it does need to be continued for a while. And the result is it's been a very good thing for Iowa in terms of 20% of our energy is now generated by wind. We have a lot of farmers that receive rent from having wind turbines on their property, and we have a lot of jobs associated with it.
That's right.
He said of Willard and the wind tax credit, they don't understand. You got a bunch of people that have put that website together that are a bunch of East Coast people that need to get out here in the real world to find out what's going on. Governor Branstad, stay off small aircraft and don't get on the spaceship. That book, To Serve Man, it's a cookbook.
But come on, Brother Bob. You know, progress, that's why it's nice and so important that we get every little seed of progress, every little tiny little millimeter that we can get, because it has a way of liberalizing things. It has a way of making, you know, I mean, when, especially when it makes sense. And right now, all right, it may be, some sort of thing that, is subjective, and that's fine. But once, everyone has solar panels on their roof, and once, you have a you pay your 5-year lease or what have you on your panels, and yeah, right, we'll have subsidies for a while, and it'll be good for everybody for a little bit, and then it'll gradually get phased out as we become more and more self-sufficient. And that's how it's going to be. And the more you'll have another extra $250, and that's what my power bill is going up to this summer. It's going up, because it goes up in the summer. More demand, So next thing you know, they double the kilowatt hours. This kind of crap is going to continue until you got $800 bills every month. And that's the future. It's either $800 bills every month or, $6 bills. That's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you? It's just how it is. Yeah, and now, granted, Minton's will certainly, Reaganize everything, and he'll just finish turning the clock back,
Maybe we could get Willard to pay a visit to the Neshoba County, Mississippi Fairgrounds and talk a little bit about states' rights. No, don't say that, Bob. No.
He's already...
Because he'll do it. And the problem is, all them people in Neshoba County, Mississippi, and all over Mississippi stand will say, see, even if he is a Starfleet admiral, he's still one of us because he believes in states' rights.
Yeah, he's a sovereign nation between sovereign powers, sovereign. Yeah, he is a Bush. He's dumber than Bush.
Yeah, he really is.
Dumber than Bush.
And but maybe we're the dumb ones. Maybe getting rid of the wind tax credit, as Irish Dave just said, maybe getting rid of the wind tax credit's one of them Anglo-Saxon things that we wouldn't understand.
I mean, until we're self-sufficient in power generation in this world and country, there should be some, you know, I mean, this is investment. It's investment, goddammit. I'm so sick of these people and talking big government and da-da-da-da while they sit here and rob us and steal from us at every turn. I mean, look at these guys. Look at Mitt and Romney. Get out of here with Mitt Romney bringing, you know, he's the forefront of the outsourcing. Forefront of it. That's this guy. You know, he's one of them. He's a, you know, he's a pod person, this guy. He, you know, and to, I'd never see anyone cutting their, you know, faces off like they do trying to support him. It just, you know, and does he have any, I mean, for real? What was he yelling? What did his, have some goddamn, shut the fuck up, kiss my ass, this is a holy site. What was that? What the hell was that? Why doesn't he answer any questions? Why doesn't, I mean, they know exactly why he's not answering any questions, why he stays away from the press. You know why. You know why, and he ain't gonna win, so let's just, you know, let's not get too depressed. We just gotta motivate our people that, you know, we do have something in the future here. You know, we have an eye on the future. And, you know, in the future there will be windmills everywhere. And yes, it'll be in your backyard. And no, it's not gonna kill billions of birds. And da 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 da, and it's gonna be pretty, and you're gonna look at it, and they're gonna take the ones when they're used up and old, and the technology gets better, they're gonna take them down and turn them into a playground, or recycle them into more. You know, I mean, that's sense. That makes sense, and that's what the sense is where we need to go. And that's why, you know, just everyone, you know, listening to my voice, or else and what have you, you know, just talk sense to people every time you get the chance. And that's all you can do. You know, in my backyard, my ass. You ever seen a windmill? My God, how gorgeous is that thing? You know, put it in my backyard, please. Oh, what about the sun? I'll tint my windows. I don't.
Well, I mean, consider what Governor Branstad said, Albert.
Mm.
There's a lot of farmers in Iowa that are getting rent payments.
Yeah.
Off a windmill. Here's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can have yourself a wind turbine and have to go out with one of them little sweeper thingies and a little whisk broom and pick up little piles of Indiana bat ceviche every couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at best or worst.
Maybe.
On the other hand, you could rent out your mineral rights to the fracking company.
Yep.
And you could quit having water for your cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could rent out your land to the Trans-Keystone XL Pipeline, Glory to God, America's Great Company International.
Mm-hmm.
And run the risk of having your entire farm covered up in crude, black gold, Texas tea, and they ain't gonna let you move to Beverly.
And Brother Bob, real quick.
I mean, I'm with the windmill.
And real quick, you know, we had that tar sand pipeline burst in Michigan.
Yes.
Why are they always near water? I think there should be, if you're going to make a pipeline, it has to be buried and encapsulated. You know what I mean? Like, really buried and encapsulated, and that way, you know, it'll be there. It'll be like a row. You have to be built to Roman standards. You know what I mean? It has to be at least built to that. And it can't be right next to a creek, for Christ's sakes. You know, this is the thing. I don't understand why people don't understand how water is so vital to us. I mean, I just don't, you know.
Well, but the same crowd that doesn't recognize that doesn't recognize that they're never going to be as rich as Willard. I mean, you and I joke about the spaceship and the Fleet Admiral and everything, but there's only one downside to that. You have to die to get on the spaceship. And that, for me, at least, is a little off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
That whole gotta die part of the, that's the key to the intergalactic benefits program, dropping dead.
But you can't even get in. There's only 144,000 or something like that.
I thought that was the Jehovah's Witnesses.
I think they're all like, you know, I think they're all in cahoots. I don't even know who these people are.
No, they're all doing their ciphering.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff going down, you know. It's just weird. They're all like, you know, different flavors of Coke. But, spaceship, my rear end. You know, Earth is our spaceship.
There is no planet B. I just love that saying.
This is our spaceship. We're not going anywhere for any length, you know, maybe in 10,000 years. Maybe we will figure out ways to really propel ourselves, you know, through vortexes or what have you. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? And you never know. But we're not going to get there following Mitt Romney and the rest of the Harkonnen. Then we're not going to get there. We'll be eating each other. You know, this is Easter Island, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, Rapa Nui. Watch the movie.
Yeah, this is, yeah, it's either that or the Enterprise. You know, this is the Enterprise. And this is, you know, only place we've got. You know, maybe we can get it to other places, but not if we can't take care of this one, because all those other planets, they're in worse shape than this one, you know, but, you know, so we're going to have to, maybe it's important. Maybe it's
you don't
like,
want to go to Giti Prime.
True, but maybe, you know, the Sensei Master is directing us to make a big, big mess and then have to clean it all up, and maybe we'll have to learn our lesson. I don't know. But I do know that there's, you know, promising technology. There's promising developments. There are farmers in Iowa starting to say, nah, we want wind. You know, and the more, you know, once Germany, what, they're going to hit 40% next year? You know, I mean, because that's the thing. It's an exponential growth with these panels and everything else like that. And they're not, you know, doing, yeah, it's in fields where there's, you know, power lines. You know, there's all kinds of places and nooks and crannies that we can sit here and put these things. You know, well, wait till the farmer gets some credit because of these barns they have, which are 400 feet long and got, I don't even know, 80,000 square feet of roof space on it. You know, I mean, you how can you sit there and poo-poo some clean technology like that? You can't. And that's just, it's not going to happen anymore. I mean, Cylindra, you know, that's what they'll try to smear it. It's like, you don't even understand the market. The market you say you love so much, because the market killed Cylindra. Not Obama, not Bush, not any. The market killed it.
Well, the predatory dumping, ill-conceived trade policy. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is not some sort of Dashiell Hammett novel. We know what happened to Cylindra.
Yeah, it's the
But by the same token, I want to share something with you, Albert, before we go.
All right.
Because I need some help with this.
Oh, man, I'm sitting.
It doesn't happen a lot, but it seems to be happening with somewhat more frequency, and it's kind of disturbing. I'm getting right-winger emails.
President election.
This comes from Chad.
Chad?
The guy, not the country.
Oh, okay.
You liberals have a problem with Dan Cathy from Chick-fil-A, but where was your problem with Obama's stance on gay marriage? Obama had the same stance until just recently. Along with that, where are the policies that help gays and lesbians from Obama? Nowhere. Where's the outrage on this? Mr. Cathy may contribute to lobbyists for what he believes in, but what has Obama done for gays? The black community as a majority... And I guess Chad is now a spokesman for the black community, as a majority are against gay marriage, especially in the church communities. So he's a spokesman for the black church community. But yet you only criticize white people who are against it. It's obvious Obama changed his view to pander to a certain voting group. Of course, he will do nothing to help them, but gets credit for evolving. That is a lie. President Romney, 2012.
Don't you love when they use examples that
they heard on Radio Rwanda?
Well, not even so much Radio Rwanda. Just like, if you know, what do you think Mitt Romney? It's like when you hear potheads, you know, yelling about Obama and the federal raids and da 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 da. Even though California is the only state that this shit's happening in, why? Because it's the California district attorneys that are sitting there invoking the federal power, and that's why. And you tell me how many patients are in prison right now. You tell me the bedridden mothers in jail right now. They're not. You tell me about the stoner actors from the 60s who are in jail right now. They're not. You know, so don't act like, you know, they'll act like, oh, Obama's going after medical marijuana, even the MPPP, whatever they are. They go, I mean, it's like, are you guys stupid? Do you know what Mitt Romney's going to do to friggin', you know, what do you think, we're ridiculous? Yeah, he had to hold his time, but didn't he pass, didn't he remove that? Don't ask, don't tell. So now homosexual members of our, you know, community of military people can serve openly and not friggin' have to worry about getting discharged just because they happen to, you know, they get to not do what they wanted to do or what have you. Come on, get out of here with that nonsense. So that's gone. Then what did he do? He did all kinds of stuff. He just didn't do it as fast as they'd like. It's the same thing with the cannabis. He's not going to do it in the first
See, it's so much easier when you do it.
Well, I mean, get out of here.
I appreciate the help.
Well, what is he going to do? I mean, he can only do so many things at once, and he has these Republicans sitting there tripling the number of filibusters constantly.
Obama's done nothing for today's. Well, yeah. What have the Republicans done for today's?
Yeah.
What would they That's do? Exactly. Round them up? Give them their own little closets? Yeah, they'll help the gays. Yeah, this way. No. It's a shower, really.
Yeah. We'll helicopter food in there. We just got to get them out of here because they're trying to subvert our children's.
Got to get out of here, Albert.
All right, Brother Bob. You be good. Love you. Talk to you later.
All right. You take care, brother.
All right. Be good. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. It is time to get out of here. Just a gentle note. This all happens because of your kind support. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. Thank you. Thank you to everybody for your emails and your thoughts this evening. Even you, Chad. By the way, Irish Dave said, so my question to Chad is, how's it hanging? Okay, I'm leaving now. Y'all have a great night. Thanks to everybody who makes all this happen, really, sincerely. Not just financial support, contributions of time, of energy, of ideas. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to Agnes for working on the show posts every day. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks always go out to Coal River Mountain Watch, the hardest working, bravest people I know, CRMW.net, and most importantly, AICACT.org. Be part of the AIC Act. Help us end Appalachia's agony. AICACT.org. And all.